Wait. Okay.
It's a great Chodesh to start this minhag of having as far as Rosh Chodesh, because this is the headquarters of Rosh Chodesh, really, because Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, is not Rosh Chodesh, it's a Rosh Hashanah. It's not the beginning of the Chodesh, it's the beginning of Hashanah, and it doesn't have the characteristics of a Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, however, is the Rosh Hashanah, to say, of all the Rosh Chodeshes. It's the headquarters of Rosh Chodesh. It's the first Rosh Chodesh that we come through to the year. And the whole theme of Cheshvan is the theme of what Rosh Chodesh is. We spend so many Rosh Chodeshes confused. In some schools you wear a white shirt, in some schools you get a special treat. But on the other hand, it's totally, you know, total secular classes and total writing. No Isser Melacha whatsoever, you know. It's a very strange day, Rosh Chodesh. It's Nishter, Nishtein, and the Torah itself writes in Bamidbar that we should blow the Chatzotos, V'yom Simchaschem u'Mo'adeichem, during the days of Simcha and your Moed, which means your Yontif, u'B'Rosh Chodeshim, and also in Rosh Chodesh. It seems that the Torah equates Rosh Chodesh to Mamash Yontif. We know that there is certainly surim on Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. You shouldn't give a hesped. If somebody dies, you shouldn't give a hesped on Rosh Chodesh. And Gemara Tanis, it seems to equate Rosh Chodesh to a yantif. On the other hand, it's totally not a yantif. There's no Isser Melacha. There's no mitzvah of Kavod V'Onig. What we're doing here what we're doing here, it's not a mitzvah whatsoever. If this is a moed, eating these chicken things, if it was Shabbos, it would be being mekayim a mitzvah daraisa of oneg Shabbos. It's not oneg. There's no such thing as oneg Rosh Chodesh. The Rama says to it a little bit. It's nice to have a little seuda, but lemaisa, in the end of the day, if you forget Yalav Yavon benching for Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to return because there's no mitzvah of seuda. Kriyas HaTorah. How many aliyahs do we have in Kriyas HaTorah? Four, which is a compromise. Yom Tov is five, Chol is three. Rosh Chodesh is smack right in the middle there with the four. Where's the only place that we really feel Rosh Chodesh? I mean, if we're in that place, we'd for sure feel Rosh Chodesh. Besides for in this room right now. Even though it's not Rosh Chodesh. What? The Beis HaMikdash. I'll just outstem. In the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Korban Musaf. Korban Musaf is only for Moed, only for Shabbos. When you came to bring the Korban Musaf in the Beis HaMikdash, you totally felt, wow, it's a Yontif now. The Levim are giving Shir of Musaf. That's something different. That never happens during Chol. Further than that, we have maybe in Isra Malacha, the Gemara in Megillah says that Rosh Chodesh is a day of Isra Malacha. Where do we find that Isra Malacha? So one person says the women don't do Malacha for whatever reason, Rosh Chodesh, we're not going to get into right now. But other people say that in the Mikdash, they mamash treated it as a Yontif. As the Korban Musaf was going, and as the Shir was going for the Musaf, they wouldn't do any Malacha. Besides for the Korbanos and the Shir itself, which is part of the Avodas. Beis HaMikdash is obviously loud. They wouldn't do any. So in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the concept of Isra Malacha. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's Kulo Yontif on Rosh Chodesh. Everybody, everywhere else in the world, they're going out to work, they're going out to school, they're going out to do the regular things in the Beis HaMikdash. It's Kulo Yontif. That's Rosh Chodesh. With Soloveitchik, based on this idea, he coined a phrase, he coined a lot of phrases. But this is an unbelievable phrase, and we're going to understand it hopefully over the next few minutes. He coined the phrase of Ish Rosh Chodesh. You know, like he coined the phrase Ish Halacha, the halachic man, the man who follows and goes straight according to Halacha. Ish Rosh Chodesh, a man who embodies Rosh Chodesh. What does he mean by Ish Rosh Chodesh? So based on what we were saying before, that... you know, I'll read from his actual writing, and I think we'll understand what he says. Listen to the words he says. Still, the holiness of Rosh Chodesh is not visible. It does not appear on the person's mental landscape in its full glory. It does not grab hold of a person's feelings and present them with a refreshed perspective. There's no sukkah, there's no matzah, there's no lulav. There's no exciting thing on Rosh Chodesh. Ah, it's a chag today, you know. How excited, you know, the Baba Rebbe, they used to ask him, what's your favorite chag? So if it was sukkahs coming, he'd say sukkahs. Then Hanukkah would come up. What's your favorite chag? Hanukkah. What's your favorite chag? Purim. I said, what's going on here? Your favorite chag? He says, yeah, because he gets so excited for the mitzvahs that you're about to do. It's like, how could that not be your favorite holiday? You know, Hanukkah's coming up. Wow, Hanukkah's my favorite. You just said Sukkah's your favorite holiday. Because it's so exciting. Rosh Chodesh doesn't have that excitement. It is very shy. It's a very shy day. It doesn't have anything to boast about it. It distances itself from the outside world, from the world outside. But the modesty of Rosh Chodesh does not diminish the value of its inner holiness. Just because it's shy and modest, that doesn't mean it takes away from its holiness. Rosh Chodesh carries more significance than an average weekday. The holiness of Rosh Chodesh manifests itself in the offering of the Musaf and the Beis HaMikdash in several other ways. So Rosh Chodesh is a very shy day. But when you go in the Beis HaMikdash is all about the pneumius. It's all about the inside of a person. It's the inner beauty of a person that in Rosh Chodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash we have. But in the outside, yeah, you're right, there's nothing exciting. There's nothing exciting about it. There's nothing flashy about it. It's a simple, simple day. A day that everybody walks around confused. Oh, you know, this Rosh Chodesh today. Ish Rosh Chodesh is a person, and now Ish Rosh Chodesh is a person who maybe... there's nothing flashy about that person. They don't walk around. They don't know Shas by heart. They don't learn in Kol for 15 hours a day. They don't. They're not big Baal Chesed that bring, you know, 100 people to the house every Shabbos. They're not. But in the inside world of them, they're a total Kaddish person. They value learning so much. They value chesed, and they do it in this, they do it in the inner side of themselves. They say Kriya Shema Alamita when no one's looking. If anybody wants to say, I'd love to contrast myself at a tish, and then look at me during Kriya Shema Alamita. At a tish, Kriya Shema Alamita. I'm not even there for Kriya Shema Alamita. I'm like the opposite of the Ishur Shchodesh. The Ishur Shchodesh, Kriya Shema Alamita means a lot to him. Okay, so he's not that flashy person who's going to get up on Simchas Torah and get the Akafas going. He's a modest person. He's the modest but kaddish person. It's a very inside holiday, Rosh Chodesh. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, in the inner beauty of a person, do you get to see that. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik meant by the Ish Rosh Chodesh, by the person who embodies Rosh Chodesh, the very modest, the person who comes to me every day, says, okay, he's not drawing the attention, he's not kicking and throwing things during davening, he's not screaming during davening, but he's consistent, he has consistency, he says the words with proper kavana, he gets the learning done, he's not flashy, and that is what Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh you can only feel when you get to the inner beauty of something, the inner Beis HaMikdash. And that, on a certain level, that's also Cheshvan. Cheshvan, Tishrei, we just went through a month of flashiness. If you want to do Kiruv, if you're doing Kiruv, would you do in the month of Tishrei or Cheshvan?
Tishrei.
Come on, Chabad's so excited, when it comes to Tishrei. You got the chauffeur, you got the lulav, you got the movable, in Wall Street, they put up a sukkah, they have the Oshana, Simchas Torah, Akafas, all over in the west side, east side, this Manhattan, that Manhattan, this San Francisco, it's fun. When it comes to Cheshvan, what do we have to offer somebody? What do we have to offer somebody? It's so quiet. It's so shy. There's a few very important yahrzeits. Stavka, tonight actually, is the original yahrzeit. No, it's tomorrow night. It's a very quiet Chodesh. It doesn't have anything flashy to present to the world. In fact, the Reb Chaim Sanz says a beautiful idea. That he says, on Tishrei, we have the shofar, we have the lulav, we have the sukkah, we have all these things to bring us closer to Hashem. What do we have in Cheshvan? What do we have now? So you know what he says? The long nights. The long nights to learn Torah. The Ishur Shchodesh. The inside, the guy who says Kriya Shema with Kavana. Kriya Shema Alamita when no one's looking with Kavana. The person who's going to say every word in the Birkas HaMazon, it's not going to be flashy, it's not going to be at a tish, it's not going to be this, it's not going to be that. A modest person who gets a consistency and gets the job done. Chaim Sanz says, what's holy about now? We have the long nights to learn. It's not flashy, it's not jumping around in our kafos, and it's not waving our lulav all. It's not getting some non-religious people to shake a lulav. It's about consistency and inner, not to, God forbid, to demean any of the beautiful mitzvahs that we have on Tishrei, but Cheshvan, we bring it from the outside to the inside. From the outside, the sukkah, the lulav, doing, to the inside, the longer nights. The learning and learning and learning. And I'm telling you, now's the time to start, guys. It's not stam that the calendar works, that after sukkahs, all of a sudden we have very long nights. Reb Chaim Sanz wasn't saying a joke. He really meant it. Now, we don't have the lulav, we don't have the shofar, we have the long nights to get close to Hashem with the learning and more learning. We have more time to learning with the longer nights. Classically, night is the time to learning. Not going to get into that now. So Cheshvan is also, Cheshvan is Lashon Merachesh, Merachesh Merachshin, which means that it's whispering in our lips. All the Chassidus Sfarim says this, I think Rav Simcha Bunim says it, that the Gemara in Megillah says that you can't daven, if you have to go to the bathroom, you can't daven. Right? But he says that the Gemara Megillah says another thing. That if you daven, you have to wait a certain amount of time to go to the bathroom. Why? I finished daven, let me go to the bathroom. So the Gemara answers, Merachesh Svasav. Merachesh Marcheshvan, same Lashon, the words are still on his lips. He's still davening. He's still davening, still on his lips. Aboche b'shirei zimra. It's still on his lips. And he shouldn't go to the bathroom while the... So right now, Tishrei is still on our lips. But it's on our inside. It's on our lips. It's within us. It's not everybody jumping around. It's not about that. It's on our inner lips right now. It's we're whispering. It's the Ishur Shchodesh, the person who's shy. And not shy as in like, I don't want to get up there. Shy as in the avodah is a very personal inner avodah where you find the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, every month, according to the Arizal, according to many people, Arizal, one who made it famous, every month has another shevet that's connected to it. And each 12 is 12 months, 12 shvatim. Each shevet represents Hashem created time. Just like different places are holy, different times are holy, and the different times are connected to different people. Who's this month? Anybody know? What? So it's interesting. Tishrei is Ephraim. Cheshvan's Menashe. Now, if you were one of the brothers, on a very superficial level, who do you want to be? Ephraim? Who gets more attention? Ephraim or Menashe? Ephraim. He's the learner. He's the brother who Yaakov switched hands, right? He was supposed to put his right hand on Menashe because Menashe was the firstborn, and put his left hand on Ephraim, who was the secondborn. What did he do? He switched it. To put his left hand on Menashe and his right hand on Ephraim. But let's learn something about Menashe which totally represents Cheshvan. The Nitziv asks a very simple question. As I'm holding my hands like this, what would you think that would have been much more simpler for Yaakov to do? Switch around. Okay, Menashe, you have to go on this side. Ephraim, you come here and go like this. Why did he switch him around like this? He was too afraid to ask him to move? So the Nitziv says an unbelievable idea. That although Ephraim represents Torah, and Menashe represents not necessarily pure Torah, but Torah in this world. Torah is the person going out into this world as being part of the world. So what he was saying is like this. And by the way, throughout the Torah, when the Jews are wandering in the Midbar, who gets more attention? Ephraim, who comes first always? Ephraim or Menashe?
Menashe?
Ephraim. Ephraim comes first. In the wilderness. When the Jews come to Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Pinchas, the Jews, they're counting Am Yisrael. Who comes first? Parshas Pinchas? Menashe comes first. Why all of a sudden did they switch around? So the idea is like this. And the Tziv answer is like this. Also, one more thing about Menashe. When Reuben and Gad said to Moshe, Moshe, we want to be on the other side of the Yarden. What does Moshe say? Fine, we'll make a condition. You have to fight and then go back down to the other side of the Yarden. Reuven, Gad, ve? Chetzi Menashe. Where did Chetzi Menashe? You look in the Pesukim, where did Chetzi Menashe say? Did they say we want to go also? And why did you split them? Is the whole shevet, half the shevet, what is doing? So Moshe Rabbeinu, and Nitziv said that Moshe Rabbeinu told Menashe, listen, Reuven and Gad, they want to go on the other side. Menashe, go with them. Half of you, Menashe, go with them. Strengthen them. Now if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, and you wanted someone to teach Torah, who are you going to send, Ephraim or Menashe? Ephraim, he's the Torah man. It's a three question. Why didn't Yaakov switch them? Why did Yaakov switch his hands like this? Why didn't we just switch here? Ephraim, you go on the right side. Menashe, you go on the left side. That's question number one. Question number two, why does the Torah change that when they go into Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden Menashe starts being the main brother? Not Ephraim, as opposed to in the Midbar, it seems that Ephraim is the main brother. The third question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu send Menashe to keep them strong? Why not Ephraim? If Ephraim represents Torah, send Torah. So Menashe represents... Ephraim represents exclusively Torah. He represents the Kol Olam. And that has to get the right hand. We have to have priority to Torah. We have to. Pure Torah, we can't fight with that. However, Menashe involves himself in the world. He's a Torah scholar. I'm just reading out from the words. It's by Tzvi Reisman, who passed away from Petach Tikva. I'm just going to read his words because they're so good, and there's no reason I should speak if he said his beautiful words. Ephraim's abilities were devoted exclusively to Torah study. He did not himself in worldly matters. Menashe, on the other hand, was a Torah scholar who did not shun all connections to the physical world. On the contrary, his Torah scholarship worked hand in hand with his ability to lead his fellow Jews in this worldly circumstance of settling the land. That Menashe was able to infuse, excuse the phrase, and I don't totally mean it to its fullest extent, Menashe understood the Torah Mada. He understood Yeshiva University. He understood that Torah has to come with worldly matters. Torah can't stand only by itself. That was Ephraim, and that takes precedent. But Yaakov says, I'm not going to move to Menashe to a lower inferior spot. I'm going to put my right hand on Ephraim because I have to give precedence to pure Torah learning. I have to. But I'm not going to make Menashe the inferior brother because he's going to bring Torah out to the world. And second of all, during the Dor Midbar, the Dor Midbar is called the Dor Deah. The Dor that was the Man, Har Sinai, they saw it all. pure Torah being, they didn't have to work the land, nothing. They didn't have to work for their Torah. It's Ephraim, exclusively Ephraim. When they go into Eretz Yisrael, now it's time. There's no more Anan. Now you're gonna have to. There's no more Man. There's no more cloud of glory. The Torah is not so clear. You have to work on yourselves. The Torah, almost to the point that Am Yisrael was afraid to go into Eretz Yisrael because they have to start working. They have to be involved with the world. Then who steps up? Who steps up? Menashe. Reuven, God, if I send Ephraim, they won't relate to Ephraim. Ephraim is not going to relate to them. He's exclusively Torah, which is priority. I need somebody who's going to bring Torah into regular day life, and that is Menashe. That's why he sent Chetzi Shevet Menashe. What? Ah, with the Mapilim. Yeah. But that was a mistake of Ephraim. Menashe represents, I think I'm pretty safe to say maybe one or two people from Levi Torah will go and live a life of Kol, maybe, and Kol Kavod to them. But I think our society is represented in the Menashe. That we understand that we're part of a world. Not to say, just because our path, let's get this very clear, just because our path is one way, that doesn't mean the other path is wrong. But our path, the society that we're from, is more of a Menashe. That we're part of the world, we don't shun the world. And we have to bring Torah to the world. Torah Mali, however you want to say it, Torah and Parnasa, everybody has a different way of saying it. But the Lamaisa, what they're saying is that the world has to be infused with Torah, and Torah has to be infused with the world. It can't stand by itself. And that's Menashe. And that's why this month is Menashe. Because Tishrei, we're sitting in a sukkah. We have nothing to do with the world. We're blowing a shofar, please. Shofar is infinite. Shofar is that you're in infinite time. Shofar, you're standing in infinite time. When you're holding a lulav, when we do na'anum, supposedly the Sfarim say we're creating peace in the world. It's a totally different level. But cheshvan, that avod of the Ishur Shchodesh, a person who understands hamavdi ben kodesh l'chol. Of course, we have to be hamavdi ben kodesh l'chol. We have to know what's kodesh and what's chol, but that we don't sever between the two. And we have to bring Kedushin to the Chol. We have to bring Kedushin to life. Bring wisdom to life. Like my why unite. And that's the Yishur Shchodesh. The person who's on the inside. Kul Kodesh. That's the Beis HaMikdash. The Musaf's going on. In the inside of his life, there's Shir. There's the Musaf. There's the excitement of Rosh Chodesh. On the outside of his life, he deals with the world like a regular manner, like Menashe. He looks regular. He acts regular. He deals with everybody in the business world. We have to become the Menashes, and Cheshvan's the time to I think for the Sifn the Baal Shem Tov, one year they saw the Baal Shem Tov on Shmini Atzeret. He goes, Moshe Baruch, Umorid HaGeshem. Moshe Baruch, Umorid HaGeshem. Like, what are you doing? I think it was the Baal Shem Tov. It wasn't like being a rapper, you know. Where's Joe Green? You know, he says, "Moshe baruach." This is at the end of Shmini Atzeret. Get rid of the ruach. Get rid of the ruchnius. Enough of the ruchnius. Umorid HaGeshem, bring the gashmius. I want to bring my Tishrei into the cheshvan. I want to bring my sukkah into my regular life. Our goal is not to sit in the sukkah our whole life. Our goal is not to walk around with a lulav and esrog all over. Our goal is not to be blowing shofar every second of our lives. Our goal is to take all these concepts and to bring Morid HaGeshem, bring them into the football game. If you should be playing football, whatever, we do play football, so forget about it. Bring it into the football game once we're playing football already. Bring it into your business. Bring it into your school studies. Bring it into your dorm life. Moshe Baruch, enough, enough. Now it's time, Morid HaGeshem. Now it's time for Cheshvan. Ephraim, you had your time. But now it's time for Menashe. And we represent the Menashes, but I think on a certain level, I'm being recorded here, so I'm a little afraid. Menashe, we're struggling a little bit to be Menashe because once you dabble with the outside world, there's a big fear, there's a big, big risk, which we see that every day of our lives, of being brought down by the outside world. The outside world to us can only be a job, should only be a job, unless your job is a Rebbe or some ruchnius matter. The doctor also to a certain level. Our job is to bring parnasa to our home. To keep a healthy family, and to be able to serve Hashem. And Menashe is not, we sometimes blow the Menashe out of concept and we forget that Torah is involved with the regular world. We're so excited about the regular world, we're so excited about the Ma that we forget about the Torah. Menashe, that's what we have to work on now. So it's not Tishrei, it's Cheshvan. Morid HaGeshem. That time that you were jumping up like crazy and believing Leva Torah, almost the whole year is Tishrei. but really it's not. Really it's not. And we have to be able to bring you that jumping, that feeling during while we were singing Mari Cohen, Mashiv HaRuach, get that away right now. Morid HaGeshem. I want to bring that excitement right now in everyday life. I want to bring that on Tuesday morning Shacharis. On Wednesday morning Shacharis. On Tuesday night when I want to go out, I want to bring Morid HaGeshem. So that was totally Ruach. I was jumping up and I wasn't thinking about anything else. Hashem Elohim, I wasn't thinking about anything. Morid HaGeshem. Next time you're in town, think about how you were jumping up and screaming Hashem Elohim. And figure out how to bring that Morid HaGeshem. And ask him, is this a place that I should be? Is this what should I be doing now? Should football help our year in Israel? Or should our year in Israel help the football? Menashe is going to say, the football is a great out. It's a great time to run around and have a time with friends. The Menashe taken too far says, well, yeshiva is great. As I once heard from somebody, I love the football, at the end of the year, I love the football games in Leiva Torah. Okay, and the Shabbos and the Torah. No, I love the sports in Leiva Torah. What? Did you just miss out on the whole year? All these things that the going out at night, the going out Motzei Shabbos, the going out to Brugge's Bar, all of these things should just be, it's an out. But my main thing is Menashe. Menashe knew that his main thing is Torah, and everything else was to help that Torah. So I go to a movie. Why am I going to? We have to keep things in perspective, and in this month of Cheshvan, to be Mashiv HaRuach, to take all the ruchnis that we got during Tishrei, all the outside that we got in Tishrei, and bring it in the inside, that it should be on our lips, and that it should be on one hand part of the world, but not let the world totally take us over. And we should be zochet to a great month, and a month that we don't think about avoda so much. This month should be full of avoda and full of Morid HaGeshem on every type of level. We'll sing one more Shchodesh Nigin, and then everyone should say Abba and Fasher. Yeah. You know, we'll hold off on the Nigin. One Nigin's enough for tonight. Just bring your chairs back if you took your chairs. And Bezor Hashem, you guys will remember in 10 years from now when we're doing the Shchodesh Nigin, you guys were the beginning. Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you. Good. That's amazing. You were amazing. You made the song. Frank, do you want this? Where's Ari Kadavan? Ari. Take one. I'm not gonna eat it. Oh yeah. Ah, there is. You can bring it to Shana Becca.
I wasn't.
I just
every month.
That's what I'm saying. When we can do it.